Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go live. Hour number 3. It's the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Steven Jackson, 15 minutes. Former NBA champ. Don't want to mess around with Steven Jackson. I'll give it to you straight. Mark Schlereth with Rick Bucher dropped by today. Joy, how are you?
Doing good. It's been an unbelievable sports summer.
It's been great. You know, nobody talked about the U.S. Open because the NBA playoffs kind of overwhelmed it. But I watched after the playoff game, one of the playoff games, I went over and watched the U.S. Open. It was actually very funny. So John Rahm won. He's from abroad, so not going to get as much press. But you had Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau, who hate each other, at the top of the leaderboard. And they both just went, ooh. The whole field went under except John Rahm. And John was a great story. But that could have been amazing because through the afternoon, when you started watching the afternoon, I thought, are we going to get, honestly, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau? They're like pro wrestlers who hate each other. it's just these big alpha males, and they can't stand each other. I thought, this is going to be unbelievable. And they both, listen, U.S. Opens are hard. It's a hard course.
I do think it's funny, but it's good for golf. A little rivalry. Spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, DeChambeau's more John Daly. He's a little more unhinged. Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson are just big alpha males. And people forget, Jack Nicklaus was this big, the bear. He was this big, bang it down the fairway. It's not the first time we've had guys who look like Jack Nicklaus looked like a football player who could golf. Tiger, when he got ripped, looked like a free safety in the NFL. And now we've got Koepka, DeChambeau, and Dustin Johnson, who are 370 yards off the tee. I tend to be a Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka guy. DeChambeau's a little unhinged for me.
Well, you're not into the thing. Shakes and the
13 eggs for breakfast. It doesn't.
How many pieces of bacon is it?
It's 74. I mean, it's just a lot. I mean, he just eats.
How is that healthy? I mean, I love bacon, but.
Yeah, it's a little much.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Simply Safe, making people feel safe at home for 15 years. Go to simplysafecolin.com, customize your security system, get a free security camera. Steven Jackson played in the NBA for 14 NBA seasons, 6 different playoff appearances. He played for Doc Rivers and Ty Lue. Mike Budenholzer, so he knows all these coaches, or most of them, very well. He is now joining us live. By the way, I just read this. I'm going to share this with you, Stephen. The NBA, I like this, is expected to implement new rules next year to limit non-basketball moves that players have been doing. They kick their feet. That'll now be an offensive foul. They strangely, abnormally lean into a defender. That's an offensive foul. Do you like that? Are you okay with that?
I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing, Colin. They're just trying to put a band-aid on this bad defense that everybody playing. Kicking the leg out, yeah, I get that. But all the other stuff, you gotta credit these offensive players for being smarter. And these guys just need to pay more attention to detail on defense.
Well, P.J. Tucker plays defense. You like him, right?
I love P.J. Tucker. Who else I was talking about? P.J. Tucker and
Patrick Beverly.
Patrick Beverly, those two guys are old school guys. They can play defense in any era because they take pride in it. You know, we know that they're not the best offensive players, but on defense, they're definitely guys that I love watching because that's the way we play, and you got to take pride in it.
By the way, it's interesting when you watch P.J. Tucker give Kevin Durant fits. Chris Paul, by the way, no longer in his prime, but he played defense. What is the key when you face an offensive player? Give me a Steven. If I was a great offensive player and I could shoot, I could drive, how would you get me off my game? Verbally, physically, how?
Well, this is what P.J. Tucker and Pat Beverly and guys like Bruce Bowen, they know. Great scorers, you're not going to stop them. You just got to make it difficult. You got to get into them. You just got to make them miss more shots than they make. Kevin Durant is probably the best scorer ever. But we've seen one of the greatest scorers ever. And P.J. Tucker knows that. But you have to compete. You have to make it difficult. You can't stop him. You have to have that in your mind going into it. You just got to go out there and compete and try to make it difficult for him.
By the way, it should be noted, Milwaukee plays real defense. Phoenix is very athletic. The Clippers play real defense. Was there an NBA player give me an example of a guy that you made a little more difficult, like Kobe Bryant. Did you make things a little more difficult?
As best I could. I mean, at some points you couldn't do nothing. But you know, I can say Dirk Nowitzki. Dirk was the MVP, and we played against him in the playoffs. You know, he was one of the greatest scorers ever, top 10 all time, top five. I think he's top five all time, if I'm not mistaken. But I knew I couldn't stop him. I just made it difficult for him. I took away the things he liked. He liked to go left. I made him go right. Every time he spun, we made sure another teammate was there. So it takes more than one guy to be a great defensive stopper. It takes a team to stop guys like that. But you just got to take away what they do best and try to make them add something different to their game, that game.
By the way, Ben Simmons lost his confidence. Giannis, at times at the free throw line, lost his confidence. I would think pro athletes, to be a pro athlete, you have to be hyper confident. But I mean, did you have teammates that ever lost their confidence? Did you ever lose your confidence?
I never lost my confidence. I've never shot an air ball at the free throw line. I don't know how that happens. I mean, you make it to the level of to the point where you're playing in the NBA. You made it to the NBA. I was the second to last pick in the draft. I never lost my confidence because I made it to the NBA. I believed in myself. Me personally, I don't know what players go through to lose their confidence, but I've never played on a team where a guy lost his confidence. That's just something I can't speak on.
What when you watch Simmons play, could I argue if you surrounded him with shooters that he works in this league? You just got to get him the right fit of players. Is that fair?
Well, he can't be on the team with a dominant big man like Embiid, because Embiid draws so much attention. He draws double teams, and a lot of time when it's swing, and he gets the ball in the corner and he can't take that shot, you kill the whole offense. I think he needs to be a power forward. If he's not going to work on his game, if he's not going to work on his shot, then put him at power forward and let him post up and initiate the offense as a power forward, because a lot of teams do that these days. But he can't be a point guard not being able to shoot in this league, and you can't be a point guard getting hacker binned. That don't even make sense.
You know, it's funny. Magic Johnson said yesterday, Stephen, he said he thinks LeBron will be the face of the league one more year, and then Kevin Durant will. And I went back 40 years, and I could only count seven guys who I really believe, some for a long time, some not, that had been like what I thought the face of the league. It was Magic, Bird, back to Magic, Michael, Duncan, Shaq, and then Kobe briefly, then to LeBron. So seven guys in 40 years. And I, even when Michael Jordan left, he was still the face of the league. Steph Curry got close for a year or two with LeBron, but LeBron was still the face of the league. And I said this about Kevin Durant. I'm not sure he wants to be the face of the league. I mean, he wasn't, you know,
I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he wants. I think he just wants to be a baller.
Tim Duncan didn't care. So Kevin Durant is just like Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan didn't care about being the face of the league. Tim Duncan wanted to win championships. He wanted to play basketball. He wanted to be the best basketball player he could be. And KD's the same way. He could care less. I'm not saying LeBron comes out to play to be the face of the league, but he cares because he's been there for so long. And to whom much is given, much is required. He leads by example in that fashion. But KD is just like Tim Duncan. He comes out to play basketball. He wants to be the best teammate he can be, and he wants to be the best player he can be, and that's all he really cares about.
When you were playing with Duncan in his prime, did you feel he was the best player in the league?
Oh, by far. When we won the championship in 2003, nobody could do anything with Tim Duncan. When you having almost a quadruple double in the average, almost a quadruple double in the playoffs, and I just seen him dominate everybody all season long. It was a blessing to actually see the best player in the league, the MVP, the Finals MVP that year. And when you're on a team with a guy like that, it's easy to see that he's the best. It's not even up for question.
Wow. So when you look at the Clippers, so Kawhi Leonard's out, Chris Paul's out. It looks like Chris Paul returned perhaps in game three. Kawhi may not return. Do you trust Paul George to carry this team? Now, he did late against Utah, but Utah doesn't have very good wing defenders. That's their deficiency. D- Do you think you can put it on Paul George's shoulders and say, beat Phoenix? Do you trust him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you got to look at it. Even though he had Kawhi, this is probably the scrappiest team in the playoffs. This team plays hard. They have a team full of dogs, and look at the coaches. They have dog coaches, T. Lou, Chauncey Billups, guys that know how to scrap and guys that know how to, what it takes to go out there and win championships. So I think they can, man, because they're doing it as a collective group just like Phoenix is doing. It's not one or two players. Yeah, Book is going down. Book is having an unbelievable postseason. Book is one of my favorite players in the league right now. But both of these, this team is a scrappy team. And when you have a team full of dogs that's going to go out there and play as a collective, play team defense and going to fight, this team was down 2-0 in both rounds before. So you can't count them out. And I think PG is doing a great job of silencing his critics.
You know, it's interesting, Steve. Budenholzer, who you played under, doesn't make a lot of adjustments. Ty Lue makes a million of them. But when Ty Lue is changing around, there's a delicate balance when you have to go up to a guy that started the game before and say, you're not starting tonight. You know, when you were with San Antonio, you kind of knew the starting lineup, the first guy off the bench. It was pretty certain most nights. Clippers got like 10 dudes that play. Give me an insight into Ty Lue's personality. Why can Ty do that and it doesn't bother any of his players when he shifts things constantly?
Well, Pop did that too with Malik Rose and David Robinson. He shifted them, and Steve Smith, my OG, was starting at the beginning of the season, but I was playing well coming off the bench, and I eventually ended up starting on the team. So I think what Greg Popovich did, I think T. Lou do the same thing. He makes everybody feel important. He lets everybody know their role at the beginning of the season and know what's expected of them. So when it's their time or when their number is called, they're ready. You know, letting the guy know that, hey, you might not play at the beginning of the season, but during the end of the season where it counts, during the playoffs, we might need you. So stay ready. Just telling the guy that and letting him know where he stands, it's easy for him to stay involved and stay intact to what the team is doing and buy into what the team is doing. But if you don't communicate with a guy like Steve Nash did DeAndre Jordan, end up playing him, then not playing him in the playoffs when you need him, it's going to cause friction, and it's going to be guys talking behind the coach's back, and it's going to kill the team morale a little bit. But I think Ty Lue is doing a great job of keeping everybody involved, letting everybody know that they're important, just as the star players on the team. And that's why the guys that's coming in now, replacing with Kawhi, is hurt, are having success.
By the way, Trae Young is on fire. He's a very slight player. He doesn't have a big build. And he's super quick, he's got super range. He would be, I would think, Stephen, a hard guy. When I look at these Currys and these Trae Youngs, you were a bigger, stronger guy. How do you defend a Dame, a Steph, a Trae? I mean, God, they're at the logo. They're at half court. What do you do? Do you trap them? How do you defend them?
It's kind of hard because these guys handle the ball like I've never seen before. You know, not only can they shoot, but they can get their own shot. They handle well. They have a high IQ. So Dame, Steph, and those guys, it's kind of hard to stop. But I think Don Nelson was the best at it. Okay, I can't stop you on offense. What I'm going to do every play down court, I'm going to put you on the block and post you up. Knock the wind out of you and make you play defense every play. And I guarantee you by the end of the fourth quarter, a lot of those shots they're shooting going to be falling short.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got to go at them on – you got to make them play D. And I remember when we played Steve Nash, Colin, the first five plays of the game, whoever Steve Nash was guarding, we was posting them up, and we ended up beating Phoenix by 30.
Make them pay on the other end. Steven Jackson, Fox Sports NBA analyst. Good seeing you, man.
You too, my man.
NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. No matter how big you get, they'll work for you. QuickBooks is quicksand. Graduate to NetSuite today. NetSuite.com/herd right now. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
Well, the Ravens are making a conscious effort to improve their passing game. They signed Sammy Watkins and drafted receiver Rashad Bateman in the first round.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson is focusing specifically on deep passes this offseason and hopes Baltimore will be much better in that department in 2021. He said, people always are saying we throw short intermediate routes and stuff like that, but we had some chances last year. We hit some of them, but we're just trying to be more consistent this year. That's where strides happen. It starts in practice, and hopefully it transitions to the game. We've just got to keep working on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you run the ball as well as them and they suck defenses in, you got to be able to beat them over the top, and that's what they really need to do. And by the way, the value, this is what really hurt Brady in New England at the end. if you have to score only on 12 play drives, you're asking your offense. It's hard to go. Sometimes you need cheap, easy points.
You have to have some big play potential.
Yeah, that Buffalo does. Yeah. Kansas City does. Now Tampa does. Otherwise, you're basically, Green Bay does with Devontae Adams. Otherwise, you're just think about it. To get to three or four touchdowns, if you need 12 plays per drive, you're not going to have a fumble. You're not going to have penalties.
Now, in all fairness, the Ravens can get huge plays with Lamar Jackson's feet, but you want to be able to throw it over the top. You're absolutely right. It takes time also. Like that being able to throw it over the top can make things happen faster. They ranked last in passing yards and pass attempts last season. He is completing 36% of his passes that traveled at least 20 air yards over the last two seasons. So he's 17th among all quarterbacks in that span.
Well, but they didn't have great receivers either.
They have improved in that department. But also, if there's any quarterback in the league who says he's going to fix something in the offseason and come back and it's fixed, it's Lamar Jackson.
And also, Lamar doesn't have to be top 6 to 8 in that category. If Lamar is top 13 to 15...
As long as he can keep the defense honest in that department, that's
fine.
All they need.
Yeah.
But Lamar is somebody who, when he says he's going to fix something about his game or he's going to change something or he's tweaking something or they're working on something in the offseason, I'm going to trust him because he has gotten better every single year and he has that ability. He's still ascending. So the return of Dak Prescott is obviously the main storyline of the Cowboys heading into the season, but they're also going to be getting some key pieces from their offensive line back. And Dak thinks that that is the key to their success this season.
They're the most important, if you ask me. I mean, from the time that I got drafted here until now, that is this offense was built off of those guys. Those are the three most veteran guys on this team, and that's for a reason. Those guys are walking Pro Bowl guys when they're healthy. You know what I mean? Future Hall of Famers, and just to have those three guys lead the five guys up front. Everything starts with them. The run game, then that allows the pass game to open up. So when you have those guys back, healthy, energized, it's special.
Don't sleep on Dallas this year. He's talking about Ty Smith, Zach Martin, and Lyle Collins.
Well, two of those three are going to be Hall of Famers.
Lyle Collins missed the entire season with a hip injury. Ty Smith missed 14 games. Cameron Irving missed 11 games. Zach Martin missed 6 games. And Joe Looney missed 3 games. So they had a really patchwork offensive line last year on top of everything else.
Now Irving's now in Carolina, I think. Well, the reality of what's happened with Dallas is, and I feel this way with the Rams too, the Rams and the Cowboys are kind of in a cross-your-fingers mode with an extra NFL game, 17 games. The Cowboys and the Rams could be really good.
Yeah.
But they have players who have been banged up. They've got older offensive linemen. And if they stay healthy, Stafford and Dak are going to have big years. If not, they're going to be running for their life.
Well, I will also say, now that they have this 17-game season, and we talked a little bit about this, I think fans and organization and media are going to have to be just a little more comfortable with the idea that some guys are not going to be playing later.
That's
like,
right.
That is the trade-off that you're making with adding an extra game. It's not just an extra game. That is a lot of extra wear and tear on your body. I mean, look how important byes were before heading into the postseason. It's going to be huge for veterans to manage their time and how much recovery time they have towards the end of the season. So there's going to be some sort of load management process towards the end of the season, especially for veteran teams. And fans are just going to have to get used to that, and media too. Like, that's the trade-off of having an additional game, because we judge everyone off their postseason performance. So we can't expect to see it late in the season if they're not playing for anything for them
to
be out there.
That's right.
So Tim Tebow is trying to make the Jaguars roster as a tight end this year.
All right.
So what do we always say? Nothing is everything, but everything is something, right? He didn't get an invitation to tight end university, led by George Kittle and Greg Olsen, who we had on the show last week. Both players made it clear the decision was not personal. Kittle said they have so few spots that he had a hard time giving one to someone who was just starting out at the position.
I think that's fair. I think Tim would admit that's fair.
And Olsen added that they'd love to have him once he is officially a tight end on a roster. They
that's
said
right.
it was tough to not bring a backup tight end from a team that's actually made the team and is playing. You know, tough to take that spot away from that guy to give it to Tim Tebow.
You know, it's going to be, I cannot wait to watch this whole Jaguar scene with Urban and Trevor Lawrence. I've never in my life wanted to watch Jacksonville. This will be the first time, even when the Jack Del Rio and Coughlin had success, Mark Brunel, it's the first time I've ever really wanted to watch Jacksonville play.
I'm fascinated by this whole situation. And I'm not putting any kind of massive expectation on them. As far as Trevor Lawrence goes, I'm kind of looking at it as I did with the Bengals last year, which is like, I know he's great. I want to see what he does in the NFL level, get through a season. But there's so many other pieces are going on here that weren't going on in Cincinnati.
This is just my interpretation of the small bit of video we have. Tim looks like more of a blocking tight end, but I think it's very hard to ask a former quarterback to be a blocking tight end. His body is that of a blocking tight end. He is not, that is not the body of a vertical tight end. That's a blocking tight end.
I have no idea what to expect. I'm with you. He was a quarterback his entire career.
Well, if somebody puts their hand in the dirt and is rushing the passer, I think Tim's going to be overwhelmed a little bit blocking him.
I think there are some players, not all, not generalizing, some might want to put a little extra zest on it too when he's out there.
Zest is a very fair word. We've never used that word on the show. I think Joy got the perfect word. A little extra zest. Sounds like the name of a really popular soap or shampoo.
I think it is, actually.
A little zest when you put your finger down in it. Good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Okay, so the NBA Drafts Lottery is tonight. It's ridiculous. Ping pong balls decide who drafts. I think it's great. I'll give you, these are just my 10. The 10 things I love in sports that aren't games. Next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Enjoy spa-like comfort. Save big on your water bill. Navien tankless water heaters. Go tankless with Navien. So tonight's the NBA Draft Lottery. And there are, we wrote down about 8 or 9 or 10. We got to about 10 was the actual number today of my favorite things in sports, mine, not necessarily yours, that don't involve a game. So there's no particular order for these. These are just 10 things, Joy, I like that don't involve a game in sports.
Okay.
So the first one's the NBA draft lottery. So basically the teams that don't make the playoffs getting a lottery, ping pong balls, to determine the NBA draft order. Now, last year it got a huge number because 4.5 million people watched because of Zion and John Morant. And so you had like two absolute home run draft picks. I don't know if you get as high a number, but it should be noted. Last year, this next draft is really good. There's like 12 guys that can play. That's a huge number of highly touted players. 8 to 12 really good players. So I love the NBA draft lottery. Another one, I love this, NFL schedule release.
Yes.
I don't understand why people don't take this seriously. Folks, there's a reason multiple networks did 3-hour shows on this, because the interest keeps ramping up. It's also the first 17-game schedule. There is no doubt in my mind that where you play people matters. You don't want to play Andy Reid in September. You'd rather go to Lambeau early than in December. You don't want to face cold weather teams in a blizzard. They have an advantage because they plan it.
When is your bye?
When is your bye? Do you have to go back-to-back West Coast? What times are the games? I love the NFL schedule release. The NFL draft. People forget this. 20 years ago, it was not a big deal. Okay, the last three have averaged over 6.5 million people, and also they're taking it to new cities, so they've made it into a rock event. This is probably, well, it's not probably, the biggest non-game event in the country, I think.
Yeah.
And what they're doing in the NFL, they decided to get it out of New York, smart. Secondly, they've expanded it to days. And I think a lot of what makes the NFL fun is that the NFL is embracing college football, which I wish the NBA would do with college basketball. They're saying, listen, these Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, Michigan, Notre Dame fans, Oklahoma fans, they don't have to like our league. They watch us. We introduce them to our league for 3 and 4 days. I would say March Madness Selection Sunday. It's still one of the most bet sporting events in America. You know, it's funny about it. The lowest seed to ever make a championship game was an 8. So even though you know it's going to be dominated by 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 seeds, even though 32 of the bids are automatic, so you know going into it, there is something about those bubble teams that pulls you in, and where does Georgetown have to go? And where
does love seeing the kids celebrate.
Oh, it's great.
It's so fun.
It really is. And for a lot of these kids, you know, they grow up in an area. They go to that college. They don't do a lot of national travel. So to see a small Western college go all the way east is fun. How about the College Football Selection Show? Now, it gets dinged a little because it's Alabama, Clemson, probably Ohio State, and Oklahoma. But, you know, it's funny. Years ago, you used to determine your college football. When anybody criticizes the playoff, I'm like, it used to be a poll. And then they used these goofy computers for years that nobody could figure out. The downs, they're going to expand this. So my guess is, Joy, this is going to get much bigger.
Yes.
So when you add 8 teams to this, and it's not going to get bigger because of the top 4. It's going to get bigger because of the bottom 4 and the at-large berth. So of all the things I'm mentioning, this will grow the fastest, the College Football Selection Show. I would say opening of NFL free agency, which was not a thing 4 years ago. But the combination of young general managers willing to go for it. I mean, Joy and I said it this year. Last 2 years, NFL free agency has been better than NBA free agency. They have that 2-day negotiation period. What's funny is they pretend like it starts at a certain hour, but the minute you can do it, they announce all the deals, meaning they've been working on this stuff for like 48 hours before it happens. I would also say the NBA trade deadline. There's always more talk than actual trades, but last year's trade deadline, the Nuggets acquired Aaron Gordon, and the Heat got Victor Oladipo, who was hurt later. But in the history of the league, Drexler to the Rockets, Pau Gasol to the Lakers, Knicks got Carmelo, Ray Allen to the Sonics. Generally, you get about 1 or 2 moderate moves, not a lot of home runs, but it's still fun. I would say the Olympics opening ceremony is probably globally easily the biggest of all of these. You know, your parade of nations. And by the way, it's a multi-million dollar event. And for a lot of countries, Russia, China, it is an opportunity for them to show off, often criticize a communist country. They come in. It's very important to look good to the rest of the nation. So tens of millions of dollars. And they are already there. These nations work on this for over a year. How about Conor McGregor press conferences? Okay, I know this is a new thing, but Nate Diaz and him got into a fight. You have to admit, he'll do something. I mean, he's ludicrous. The dress, he'll throw stuff, he'll taunt. Very good. He's got good whiskey, I'm told, too. I don't drink it. And I, obviously, National Signing Day, it's a dork fest. But I love College Football National Signing Day. This has always been my thing, where the kids now put the hats up. And now most of them sign before this day. There's always about 15 really good players, and they put the 4 hats up, and the families around them, and everybody on the message board just freaking out, and they think they know, and they don't know. I love National Letter of Intent Day.
I asked the question at a McGregor press conference once. Got him very fired up.
You asked a question.
Yeah, when I was on Undisputed, we went to the Alvarez-McGregor fight.
What was your question?
Alvarez, I believe, said that McGregor was an embarrassment to Ireland, I think, or something like that.
What did he say to that?
It's not appropriate for television.
That is funny.
But they are a scene. And I went to the first McGregor-Mayweather, I mean, press conference is loose, but whatever that spectacle was at Staples leading up to that fight. So, like, remember they did that tour?
I do remember that.
Yeah, tour. So I went to the first one at Staples.
Can I tell you the first question I ever asked? Ever. So I got this is over 30 years ago. I got a job, not really a job. Scott Reynolds was a sports director in Vegas. And I'd kind of interned there a little bit. And he put me on, and it was my first assignment. So they gave me a real easy assignment. I interviewed after the baseball game, the AAA baseball game. You know how AAA baseball games, minor league games, have these funny acts to get fans? They hired Captain Dynamite. So I said, Scott, there's this guy called Captain Dynamite at the baseball game. I'm going to go do what they call a package on it.
Yeah.
Like a minute package. So, you know, it's a local feature. So I go over there, and the game ends, and here comes this old 65, 70-year-old guy, Captain Dynamite. And he puts himself in a box, and the crowd's all freaking out, and there's dynamite in it. And he goes in the box, and there's a countdown on the scoreboard, and kabloomy. So this is a true story. This is my first assignment in television. I go over with a camera guy for KVBC, KVBC Channel 3. And I said, hey, Captain Dynamite, can you hear? And this 70-year-old man looks at me and goes, hell yeah, I'll have another beer. And that piece of video, Fred Rogan's a sportscaster in L.A. I sent it to him because he does funny videos. And George Michael's Sports Machine ran it. That's exactly what he said. I was like, is this guy a stand-up comic?
That would go viral today.
I can remember. I remember everything. I have the piece of tape somewhere. It's Captain Dynamite. It's probably on YouTube. It's Captain Dynamite in Cashman Field in Las Vegas.
I do not remember my first question on television.
Well, think about that. We'll have it tomorrow, yeah. I promise you. We'll find it on YouTube. Summer's here. Get active. Shed pounds. M-Drive Boost and Burn. Check it out. Free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Visit mdriveformen.com today. I'll tell you this. My weird memory. I was wearing a blue and white striped shirt. And wait until you see my hair. I had a lot of it. Captain Dynamite, baby. See you tomorrow.